In cybersecurity, speed isn't just an advantage, it's survival. SOC Radar is your early warning system against hackers. SOC Radar continuously monitors the external threat landscape, so cyber threats hit your radar before they hit your business. But it doesn't stop there. SOC Radar empowers your company with proactive exposure management, actionable insights that help you stay ahead of cyber criminals and minimize business impact. And with SOC Radar's holistic exposure management, you get complete visibility, attack surface monitoring, dark web monitoring, threat intelligence, and brand protection are all unified in one powerful platform. SOC Radar isn't just another tool. It's your frontline defense in a world where threats never sleep. Start your free trial at socradar.io/podcast. That's socradar.io/podcast. Don't wait.
All right, guys, what's going on? Matt Garland, NMLS number 58700, better known as MG the Mortgage Guy. So we talk a lot about wealth building and building wealth with real estate on this channel. But today we're going to talk about the people who literally build the world around us, from homes to highways. America's construction industry is short a 500,000 workers. And today I'm bringing on a special guest who is on a mission to change that. So today I'm bringing Paul Robinson, who is the founder and CEO of ConstructReach, a national workforce development initiative working with corporations like Target, Procore, and many others to bring young people into the construction industry through education, exposure, and inclusion. He's also the visionary behind the I Built This experience that's changing the way young people see careers in construction. So this is a much needed conversation. If you know any parents or anybody who's interested in getting their kids into construction, this is the show for you guys today. So without further ado, I'm bringing on my guy, Mr. Paul Robinson. Paul, what's going on, brother? How are you today?
Matthew, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm alive and blessed. No complaints. How's everything with you?
Good, man. Yeah, likewise. Alive and blessed.
Every day above ground is a great day.
It sure is.
So let's jump right into this, Paul. How did you get into construction, and what problem were you trying to solve when you launched ConstructReach?
Yeah, man. Well, you know, everybody's got a story, man. You know, and so it's definitely been a journey as to how I got here. I would say I did not envision this for myself. When I was younger, of course, in school, I did like math, I liked drawing, you know, but didn't necessarily think that construction was going to be the route that I would take. You know, when I was younger, and I didn't make that correlation between my father's height and what I was going to be, it was always me thinking I was going to be in the NBA. You know, my goal was to be 6'6", like Mike, you know, and go and do my thing. You know, but I was always interested in drawing. I was always interested in the design, in the construction of facilities and buildings. And so I went off to the Kansas State University, majored in kind of what their program was in construction science management, architectural engineering, or what have you, and then started to veer off into construction science management. And then, you know, from there, man, I started my professional career. I became a project manager for Target Corporation, so managing the scope, schedule, budget, and the branding, if you will, of building new stores, distribution centers, man. And from there, you know, that afforded me a huge opportunity to travel, to engage with a lot of different municipalities as we were looking to enter into new communities or what have you, man, to build new facilities, new stores, meeting with different people. And from there, it began to be, you know, something that I wanted to have an impact on with the next generation. A lot of people would celebrate me from having that type of success, you know, and being able to have that type of position at such a young age. But there was also a calling on my life, man, in terms of ministry or what have you, and to give back, you know, to my community and to be an example. And so my life took a turn, actually. I left the construction industry. I left Target to go and pursue community development ministry 3 full time. Did not know that drug reach was going to be in my future. And I got a call back from who was my former director, and then he became a VP. And he said, you know what? I commend you for what you are doing, because many folks wouldn't leave that position to go and do what you did. And I want to be intentional. I want to be more intentional with how we are representing the community in which we have a presence. And I know I need you at the table to do so. I didn't see this coming, you know, but it was something I was very passionate about. And so I said, hey, you know what? If we're going to do this, we've got to be solution oriented. And so we started to have small conversations with other companies about how they could be more intentional with their construction projects, but engage the community. And since I came from the construction industry, you know, I understood what it was like to do that more intentionally, but I also understood what it was like when a lot of corporations kind of show up and make promises and they don't see those through. So for me, I just started to speak very authentically, man, and candidly about the importance of there being follow through and the importance of there being alignment with the different entities that are involved in community development. They bought it. And when I say bought it, I mean they liked the idea. And I knew that in order for this to be successful, it needed to have a business model around it in order for it to have traction, because it was systemic. It was an industry-wide issue. And that was the birth of Construct Reach, you know. And so when I was growing up, you know, I didn't foresee this, you know, as an adult now, man, leading this workforce development consultancy and being able to be a consultant for these global brands and have an impact on how they're showing up in communities and how that's affecting our opportunities as, you know, underrepresented communities, man, to have an impact within this industry, but have careers within this industry as well. I didn't foresee it, but, you know, that was the product of obedience, man, and just kind of following God's plan for my life, you know, and then him being able to blow my mind with this opportunity to lead this company.
You're walking in your greatness, man. You know, God, I say everything happens in God's time, not your time. And that is probably your testimony just now is just a true statement of that. You wanted to play ball like most of us, right? Grow up in the hood. You want to play ball. You want to be an athlete. You know, you want to get to the money. You want to get to, you know, the sexy things in life, right? But God has a way of just showing you of where you should be at. And it's things like you never thought. Like, I never thought that I would be in the mortgage business. Like, I never grew up saying, hey, I want to be a loan officer and I want to help people buy homes and buy real estate, right? Like, that wasn't my passion. That wasn't my pathway. But I'm here 22 plus years later, you know, doing my thing. So, you know, certain parts of your story, I can definitely relate to it that, you know, you're now walking into your greatness, you're walking in your path, and you're helping a lot of people. And one thing you mentioned, the opportunity, right? There's a shortage of workers in the construction space in general. I definitely want you to go into that, but I want you to go deeper. Like, when you talk about the workers, like the Black and brown community, right? We don't really see too many of us that are looking to get into construction, right? Like, how do we bridge that gap, and how do we show our people, especially the youth, that there's opportunity and you could be extremely successful working in the construction industry?
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, man, because that's what the entire educational institution is trying to fix now when you look at K-12. So when we were growing up, you know, we did have construction education that was integrated into our curriculum. You know, you had the shops and things of that nature. And, you know, it was interesting because you saw that become integrated into our curriculum during that time. But to get ready for all the technology and the technological advancements and the careers, those classes were taken out of education, not knowing that we still needed those particular skill sets. And so construction sort of got this stigma that it was an industry that you failed into because everybody was pushing college, you know, and college is good, but it's not for everybody, right? And that's not a slight on anybody's competencies. That's not a slight on anybody's abilities or what they have the opportunity to do in life. But oftentimes that's when construction was presented. You know, if it was realized that, okay, well, this student may not be going the college route. And within K through 12, that kind of came synonymous as the next successful move. And so when construction was offered as this alternative route, it kind of got the stigma that construction is an industry that you fail into. And that's not the case, you know. And so now you're starting to see the implementation of CTE programming that's coming into schools. And CTE means career and technical education. So they've got about 19 to 20 clusters, manufacturing. You know, you've got different career pathways that you can take, but construction is in there as well. And so now they're starting to celebrate going into your career right on par with going into a four-year university, which the way it should have always been. But now they're trying to overcome that. That's still a mountain to climb because you don't have every state that's kind of at the same pace, and you don't have all municipalities, right? Especially Black and brown communities that don't have, they don't have the resources that some of the other schools may have. So those are the things that, you know, we are looking at from a broad perspective, but it's also because you have it coming back into the educational institution and they're looking at CTE. That's created an opportunity for us to develop more intentional partnerships as well.
So there's about a shortage, a labor shortage right now, almost 500,000 workers nationwide, right? What are probably the three areas in construction, those trades that our audience should be aware of that they should be going into?
Oh, yeah. Well, for one, it's when we think about three trades, you know, that are probably the most visible, you know, you're going to think about the electricians, you're going to think about the plumbers, maybe even HVACs or HVAC, mm-hmm. that's heating and cooling. Or, you know, a general carpenter or what have you, but then you've got painting. One of the things that we do, you know, and I think we'll get into it a little bit later with our I Built This campaigns and, you know, this initiative that we started, is that there are so many different career pathways that exist within the industry of construction, and trying to showcase like all of the different avenues that a person can take, whether it's on the skill side, the management side, the technological side, especially with this generation, technology is all they know, you know? And so it's being able to show them what their options are so they can move into young adulthood to make an informed decision about where they want to go or tap into what they're gifted for, you know, and what their purpose to be. And so it's being able to provide that visibility, you know, to what they can do, because a lot of them just don't see those being presented in front of them.
What are some of the biggest myths you think people still believe about careers in constructions?
Oh, man. I would say there is one of the biggest myths with construction is that you can't do it for a career. And what I say by that is, I think sometimes, and this it didn't come out of nowhere, you know, but I think because you have construction based on like project to project and then project to project, you know, I don't think sometimes people see it as a lifelong career. They kind of see it as a short-term, you know, like a short-term opportunity. And they don't think long term with it. Now, they probably could have gotten some of that from, you know, the culture within the industry, where sometimes, you know, you may not get the call back or you may not get a chance to be on the next project. Somebody may get placed in front of you that, you know, you've probably outworked, but they may have the familial relationships, you know what I'm saying, that gets them that opportunity. And so, you know, and that's why I say it didn't come out of nowhere. But I would say that that's probably one of the biggest myths is that, you know, it's not just temporary. It's not just seasonal, but you can actually have a career with it. One of the other things that people don't know is that construction is probably one of the only sectors where you can go into it without a degree and make the same amount, if not more, than somebody who has a degree. Mm. I don't think a lot of young people know that.
No, you know?
And so that's one of the things that, you know, we try to let them know. And especially as we travel and we go from state to state, city to city, you know, sometimes where there's unions and different things like that, entering into pre-apprenticeship programs, they actually pay you to learn. You know, so that's the complete opposite of college, where you go and you pay to learn, right? And so that's one of the things that they don't know either. So we're trying to introduce them, man, to a whole nother lane and, you know, an approach to life and then looking at finances completely different than they probably have ever thought or imagined.
You know, you said a lot of interesting things there. You know, when I look at contractors, and I'm gonna be honest with you, because I do real estate, and my audience would tell you, I always say contractors, capital C, capital O, capital N, tractors, right? Like con artists. A lot of these guys will just shake you down. And, you know, it's terrible because we don't understand the language of construction. You know, and another thing I always tell my audience is the two areas in real estate where you should really focus on is financing and construction. And if you learn those and master those two, you'll be able to do any project, no matter what type of project it is, residential or commercial, right? But a lot of these contractors out here are just shakedown artists. They con artists, but they're making a boatload of money. I mean, the markup is ridiculous. Like, I just got something as simple as sheetrock quotes today. You know, I got quotes anywhere from $30,000 for this project I'm doing up to $60,000. It's like, where the hell is that gap? Like, what is going on here, right? But that just shows me there's a lot of money that's being made on the upside and of being a contractor. And I want my audience to, you know, when people think about getting into real estate, Paul, they think about, well, I got to go be an investor. I got to go buy houses. But I tell people all the time, the transactional side is just as lucrative as someone being an investor, right? And construction is extremely profitable. Like, you mentioned the three trades, and there's so many different other ways to go, but it sounds like with your programs, you guys are real focused on more of the bigger scale deals, right? And getting people into that versus the everyday, hey, I want to buy a single family, I want to buy, because when most people, especially in my audience, they're thinking about, hey, if I'm going to be a contractor, it's for a smaller project, right? You're speaking more for bigger projects with bigger bills, correct?
Yeah. So far it has. It's been that because a lot of our clients, or pretty much all of our clients, are on the commercial side, right? Or at least that's the majority of their portfolio. So they're either building, you know, public facilities, man, that the community is going to use, or, you know, there is a larger development that's taking place. And so for us as a consultant, first and foremost, you know, we're coming and we're saying, hey, how do you be intentional? How do you really be present in this community in which you are now having a presence? What does your construction program look like? You know, and how can that correlate to the values that you have at headquarters? A lot of these major corporations, you know, from a headquarter perspective, they say they want to be good neighbors, what that means, community engagement, social responsibility. But what we found out was that they weren't correlating that to how they build their facilities and how they build, you know, their particular projects or stores if they're on the retail side. And so we said, hey, how you build is really intentional. Now, your brand, they may not resonate, you know, with a quote unquote construction industry or, you know, a particular construction job, but the sheer fact that you are building all across, you know, the U.S., you are in the construction industry. And so you have influence because the employers, the construction workers, right, those general contractors, they work for you. So how do you become intentional with making sure that general contractors, those design build firms, have the value alignment that you do so that you can utilize the development of your facility that you're paying for to be, you know, essentially an extension of your values? And if you understand that the work shortage is permeating society, right, it's a win-win-win. You get a chance to show social responsibility. You also get a chance to allow the industry that needs more laborers and more workers and just a larger workforce to have sustainability so they can stay in business to keep building for you. And then, you know, for a demographic that didn't know these opportunities existed to now get exposed to these opportunities and then go on and make a very good living to support their families, who loses?
Mm-hmm.
just need to make the connection. And so we connect the dots for them to showcase how to do that in a very intentional way.
So you're working with these big corporations, right? What could they do to engage the next generation better, right? Because you're talking, and look, and I'm going to just keep it real with you, bro. A lot of this, what you're talking about right now, our people don't know about. Yeah. We don't know about, you know, these corporations and all these different programs and stuff like that that's available. They don't promote that within in our communities. They treat us just more like consumers, right? So, like, what do you think that these big corporations could do better to engage our community better to make us want to get into the construction field and work with these companies?
Yeah, you know, I think what we've been able to see is them getting a practice.
In cybersecurity, speed is survival. SOC Radar is your early warning system, monitoring external threats to your company to spot risks before breaches. SOC Radar delivers proactive threat intelligence with actionable insights for holistic exposure management across attack surfaces, dark web, and brand protection. With automated detection, triage, and investigation, SOC Radar is your business's frontline defense. Start your free trial at socradar.io/podcast. That's socradar.io/podcast. Don't wait.
Practical and a tangible example of what it looks like. A lot of times, and like I said, you know, they'll have messaging around what they want to do in theory, but they don't have the individuals. They don't have, you know, the boots on the ground to make it visible, to make it tangible for our communities. So when they're able to partner and extend beyond themselves, and I think that's where consultants become that much more essential, because not everybody has all the tools. This is one of the things I always say, and I'm gonna say it now, man, because I think it's important, because it applies to organizations too. But when I'm talking to a lot of these young people, and I have industry partners, and I have these large brands in the same room, I'm speaking to everybody, but I'm gonna use it for this example too. But I always tell them, I said, everybody has something, right? Like, everybody has a gift. Everybody has a reason why God has put them here. There's some quality about you, you know, that is good, that is able to allow you to go forward. So everybody has something. Nobody has everything. Nobody has a monopoly on all the gifts. And that keeps us in constant need of one another. We are designed, we're built for a community. So if you apply that to an organization, an organization may want to do all of these things, but they might not necessarily have the infrastructure, depending on the company. They might not necessarily have the right personnel, depending on who's leading those departments that are supposed to be doing it. But if you can look outside yourself and say, okay, well, you know what? Let me lean into interdependence. In order for us to accomplish what we have the potential to, I've got to begin to lean on others that specialize in something that we could do a better job at. Let me identify this area of opportunity for us and then lean on others who do it well, so that we can actually live out what we say we are committed to. Getting companies to understand that, you know, is something that we try to do, because, yeah, it's easy to say, man, they don't think about us. You know, they don't bring those resources and that information down to us. But, you know, that's something that we've had to fight against for forever. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So how do we be strategic? How do we speak that truth to those who are in position to make a difference? But then also, how do we allow them to lean into vulnerability and then be there as thought leaders, so that they can bring those resources down to our communities, or into our communities, not down, but into our communities? That's what we are looking to do, because everybody doesn't necessarily have that capacity. So that's how we try to approach it. Because, like you said, we don't feel a lot of those resources. We don't get a lot of that information.
No, that's a fact, man. That's a fact. Well said. Well said. So tell me about the I Built This experience. What actually happens when a student steps into this environment?
Yeah. So when I Built This, man, it's become our flagship, signature kind of community engagement, but also workforce development vehicle, where will leverage an existing project or a soon-to-be project that's taking place right in communities, man, and we will partner with surrounding schools, school districts, workforce organizations, or what have you. We allow construction projects to be more community-centric, bringing, you know, the community, if you will, behind that proverbial construction fence. And so students, primarily juniors and seniors, will come on to site or adjacent to the site, and they participate in work-based learning kind of activity stations, fully immersed, man, in activity stations that correlate to the construction and or the design of or the project management of the project that is taking place. So they actually get a chance, man, to go around, you know, and participate in this immersive experience as if they were doing the components that the project takes. And it's something that they don't even foresee coming. We kind of keep it tight to the vest because we like to see them open up and see their response to this experience and through this journey. But when we did it, man, we did it down in Atlanta for the very first time in 2019.
Okay.
And we got, the response was crazy, man. Like we had our industry partners saying, we've never thought about community engagement this way. We had our client, you know, on the retail side saying, you know what, this is what true community engagement and social responsibility looks like. We had educators that were able to establish new industry relationships. And then we had young people that were able to get exposed to opportunities and get jobs. And so I think one of the things that is super important for us, man, is that we try to identify the next steps before we even do an I Built This event. We call it IBT for short. But we say, hey, we've been doing this now since 2019. We typically get about 75 to 80% of the students wanting to move forward in the opportunities that are. That's crazy, you know, to
have that of
response rate, man, from these juniors and seniors that didn't even know these careers existed. So how do we make sure that we have actionable next steps, whether it is speaking about scholarships, whether, you know, they get sponsored into a pre-apprenticeship program, whether they go straight into the workforce, whether they do an internship first. And so we've been able to do that, man, successfully now touching over 4,000 students in various markets, pretty much every major city, and looking to continue this wave, man, in 2026. And so, you know, that's been our biggest vehicle, man, in terms of really creating this wave movement. And it's just rethinking what it looks like to not only present opportunities, but to also model to these corporations what it looks like for true community engagement.
So over 4,000 juniors and seniors across America, because of the I Built It, the IBT experience, has been able to go to construction sites that major corporations all across America are doing and learn hands-on, you know. And they're learning about budgeting, about scheduling, about subs. They're learning everything about construction. Not everything, but they're getting kind of like the bullet points of what you have to do to take a project from your vision to in the sky, basically.
Yeah. And the model, man, is crazy how it's taking off. And I'm glad that you know, even for your audience, is talking through real estate and how everything is really, when you look at the umbrella, it falls under that sector, man, because of course you need the land, you need the property to develop on, right? How do you acquire that? So building that out. But then also now we have partnerships with the International Code Council. That's another global organization. You know, when you think about the coding and the building safety of components. So like, how do these buildings get constructed? Who approves those? How do you make them safe? How do you make these public facilities safe so that we can go into and enjoy and a roof don't fall down on us, right? Or we can get up properly, you know, like, so now we have this partnership, man, with them and introducing a whole new side of construction that they didn't even know existed. You know, they didn't even make the connection between building code and safety and construction, you know, let alone real estate. And so we're trying to connect all of these dots, man, because once you start to understand the different career pathways that exist and how they dovetail off of one another and how essentially they're kind of all connected. Now, once you get it in, you got unlimited options.
Mm-hmm. Man, 4,000 students, man. I'm just thinking about 4,000 students being able to, you know, see construction, see real estate hands-on while still in high school. And most of these students probably don't even know what they want to do with their lives yet, right? Yeah. And for them now to see just the world different, because there's construction going on everywhere in America, right? No matter where you go, you can't avoid not seeing construction. It's just happening, right? So out of these 4,000 students, has there been any success stories of any of these students who went through your IBT program and this experience that now has are in the construction industry?
Oh, yeah. The success story started from the very first I built this event in Atlanta. That's what let us know we had something special, man. So this is exactly what took place. We were at the time, you know, Target was our client, and this is 2019, right?
Okay.
And they were remodeling the store down in Atlanta, and we also had the general contractor that was doing the remodel as a client. And we formalize internship programs, right? So we create the formalization of internship programs. We also develop the curriculum as well that takes into account a younger demographic, a more diverse demographic. And we do a lot of the professional development training for that existing leader so that they are in a position to really lead in a very intentional way to not only build an affinity for the industry, but that company that the young person is having the experience with, right? So long story, a little bit shorter. We host an I Built This event for that remodel that's taking place where a lot of the surrounding schools frequent it, right? And did the event, had a lot of the schools participate, but the general contractor that was building the store, remodeling the store, they ended up hiring an intern, and he went through our internship program with that particular general contractor. So we highlighted him, we featured him so that young kids could see somebody, he was only 19, so that they can see somebody that they could identify with that wasn't too far removed, pretty much just a matter of months from the position that they were currently in, being seniors and juniors in high school. And when he started out, he did his rotation with, you know, HVAC, and then he got a chance to be with the electricians, and he ended up changing his mind. He wanted to be, you know, an electrician. Well, as he was sharing kind of his story, he got a job on site, right, in front of all the students. And then not only did he get a job, a 19-year-old, you know what I'm saying, in front of kids that he went to high school with, because he was only a year older than them, his sister got a chance to come, who was a sophomore that never even considered construction, you know, and because of her seeing not only her brother, but this impacted in her community and the opportunities brought to her, he was like, this is what I want to go into. And then to have parents who frequented the store to say, hey, I know so-and-so. What are y'all doing out here? You know what I'm saying? Can my kids come? So, and then to have them now, and then we've got countless stories, man. You know, we've started this Young Adult Advisory Council where we try to empower the next generation and essentially, man, you know, trying to allow them to have an impact on, you know, the next generation. So how can the industry be more intentional with building relationships with the educational institutions? We had a participant, you know, in our Houston I Built This event 2 years ago, and now he's part of our Young Adult Advisory Council, you know. And so it's the stories, man, are amazing. The way that we've been able to lead with intentionality, I think that's the first and foremost thing, man. When you know your audience on both sides, you know, you can develop a very intentional pathway forward. You just have to create a narrative, man, where both people can see how they play a role, or both sides can see how they play a role, you know. And that's what we do with the industry, man, because a lot of times their touch point with our community is not like this. And so we model it, or we let them know, hey, you may not have to do it like me. You may speak differently than I do. You may show up differently than I do. Mm-hmm. You look differently than I do, but that don't mean you can't make an impact. You know what I'm saying?
That's a fact.
And so you know, that's what we do, man. And we've been able to be successful, you know, from day one, you know. And so I think that's a testament, man, to a lot of that intentionality.
Man, that's beautiful, bro. That is absolutely phenomenal to hear. Let's talk about the next 5 years, though. What do you want Construct Reach to have built beyond just buildings and stuff like that? Because, you know, from me just learning about and hearing you today, you're building more than just buildings, right? You're building people. What do you see your legacy over the next 5 years, 10 years with Construct Reach is going to have?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, I do. I want us to be the number one workforce development consultancy, you know, when we are looking at 5 years from now. And, you know, you said it, you hit the nail right on the head, man, like no pun intended, you know, talking about construction. But I think with the way that we try to lead and looking at and affirming, especially now, it's just being able to affirm the humanity of people, you know what I'm saying? And letting them know that they have an opportunity. I think that's what I essentially want to be known for, man, is, you know, it's not just about building structures. It's about building lives. It's about building people. And construction is in a perfect position to be able to do that, because every single defined space that exists, the construction industry has touched. Where we worship, where we get healed, where we play, where we sleep, where we get an education. That is the construction industry. We develop a built environment. And so it's like, that's a given. The variable is, how are you going to do that? Everything is built with people. So how do you build people in the process? You know, and I think that's what I want the industry to know, is that it's not just about scope, schedule, budget. And everybody in the industry know what I mean. Those three pillars, how they define success. You know, but if it's all about scope, schedule, and budget, which is very impersonal, and it's all about people, then what have you really built?
Yeah, that's a fact, brother. It's bigger than that. It's definitely bigger than that, man. You are making a huge impact in the community. This is a terrific program. If anybody want to tap in with you, tell them how to find you.
Oh, man, it's easy. One word, Construct Reach. Leave the I-O-N off of construction. Construct Reach. One word. You can find us on all social media platforms. Construct Reach.
Leave us one last gem, man. One last gem before we get out of here.
Oh my gosh, man! You know what? Yeah, I know. I can't be on the Ransom Gems and not leave a gem, huh?
you gotta leave one more gem, baby. One more gem. Or you want to rant, whatever it is. You want to do a rant. You want to do a gem. Whatever works for you.
You know what? I'm gonna say this. You know, I'm gonna leave this gem. I think there's four things that you cannot go without. In order to reach your potential. Of course, there's more, but it's four. You know, when I think about how we can pull into the next generation and how we can help a younger demographic become what they have the potential to become. Potential is speaking about what can be, right? And regret is crying over or sulking over what could have been. And, you know, I think for us, in order to allow people to maximize their potential, accountability is needed. You need somebody to really be able to tell you what it is, you know, and hold you to your word. Number two is you need empowerment. Somebody to give you the confidence and or the opportunity to add value. Number three is you need balance. There's only so many hours in a day. We have a lot of obligations, but you've got to be able to prioritize. And this last one, man, I think a lot of people don't realize enough is that we need interdependence in order to maximize our potential. You can't become what you have the potential to become by yourself. Nobody arrives alone. And so it's being able to recognize that in order for me to be who I have the potential to be, I've got to begin to link up with others that do what I don't do well, and then add my value to them as well. And so, yeah, man, those are the gems, man, that I want to leave everybody with. You know, hopefully it was good. You take it, you know, and you cash in on it one day.
Nah, it's no hopefully, bro. You definitely dropped some gems today. Make sure you guys drop some gems in the comments for Paul Robinson. Construct Reach. Tap in on all social platforms. Tap in with their movement. This is a phenomenal thing that you're doing. And like I said earlier, man, you're not just building buildings. You're building people, especially our young people. And this generation that's coming up, they're going to need it. We see what's happening in this administration. We see people getting laid off left and right. I don't hear people talking about they laying off construction work. Though.
Right.
I don't hear, you know, the news this week alone, we had about 40,000 laid off the other day.
Yeah.
Another 20,000 laid off here. I don't hear nobody saying they're not laying off construction.
No.
That's a fact. So this is a recession proof industry, in my personal opinion, because there's always going to be need some sort of construction that's going to be done in this world, man. So I appreciate you coming on the platform, man. We definitely going to tap in with you again because we want to hear more about what's going on, other IBTs and everything that's happening, man. But I definitely appreciate your time today. Everybody drop some gems in the comments for my guy, Paul Robinson. And we're going to check you guys on the next live. All right. Matt Garland, NMLS number 58700, better known as MG the Mortgage Guy. Peace. All right.
In cybersecurity, speed is survival. SOC Radar is your early warning system, monitoring external threats to your company to spot risks before breaches. SOC Radar delivers proactive threat intelligence with actionable insights for holistic exposure management across attack surfaces, dark web, and brand protection. With automated detection, triage, and investigation, SOC Radar is your business's frontline defense. Start your free trial at socradar.io/podcast. That's socradar.io/podcast. Don't wait.